Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving yesterday. Today, let's just get right into it. If you thought I was excited on Monday, man, oh man, Friday is a repeat of Monday with new stuff, new information, and it's going to absolutely blow your mind. Guaranteed. On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, the coming COVID-1984 vaccine that we have told you about over and over and over for the past 7 months is almost here right now. And yes, it will be mandatory, and in exactly the way that we told you that it would be. Could SWAT teams come to your door with a syringe in their hand to inject you by force? Maybe. That certainly is a possibility, but it's more likely that it will be accomplished by locking you out of the system until you agree to take it. Your passport will be revoked. You will be denied access to public transportation, shopping, online or in person. You won't be able to buy or sell anything. Well, buy or sell, where have we heard that before? That's right, Revelation chapter 13, and that is exactly where all of this is headed. COVID-1984 is the linchpin that makes the new world order possible. Will people simply lay down and agree to all of that? They already are. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we commit this time and we commit this program to you, Lord. We thank you for the thousands and thousands of people who listen to this program every time that we do it, God. And it's humbling and it's exciting to see that this platform that you've given us is going out around the world and back again. And it is just, we're grateful, God. And we just pray today that if there's somebody listening who is lost, and there likely will be, we pray that something would be said and done to give that person, whether they be male, female, black, white, gay, straight, young, old, that would give that lost person a desire to seek after you, Lord, the way that I sought after you 30 years ago. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's where I got saved 30 years ago. And we pray, Lord, that there will be somebody listening today who will want to reach towards you in salvation. And we commit this time to you, Father. We ask you to bless and work and move as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's just jump right into this, what we have today. Andrew has a question in the chat room. Won't that be after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church? Yes and no. And we're going to explain that today. If you are a regular listener of our Wednesday and Sunday night King James Radio Bible studies, you know that we are living in a time that we call the overlap. The church age, just about done, just about over, everything's winding down, the Laodicean church is in full force, the Christian remnant, who's not part of Laodicea, they meet in places like, Rapture Ready, they read blogs by people like our sister Jerry, Ungurian, who writes for us, and she writes a fantastic blog. If you haven't checked out Jerry's blog, you need to check it out. Jerry Ungurian, Google it, look it up. I think her, I don't have the link right off the top of my head, but it's Grandma Jerry. Somebody will find that and put that link into the chat room. But this is where the Christian remnant meets, and they also meet here at NowTheEndBegins.com. And they've been meeting here for over a decade now. And so as we see the church age coming to a close, we see an unsaved world preparing to receive Antichrist. That's not future. That's happening right now. So am I saying that somehow the church is going to wind up partially in the time of Jacob's trouble? Absolutely not. The born-again church will not spend one day in the time of Jacob's trouble. Why? Because it's the time of Jacob's trouble. That's why. The only way that you can wind up in the time of Jacob's trouble is you got to be lost and you have to be unsaved. And you have to be partially Jewish as well. It will be Gentiles in the time of Jacob's trouble, absolutely. But it's called the time of Jacob's trouble for a reason. So the church is not here. The Bible, absolutely, 100%, take it to the bank, write it down. It's a virtual, absolute, technical, realistic, positive, 100% guarantee that the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, will be removed. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trump, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And that's what's going to happen to us. But in the meantime, what do we see? We see a lot of stuff that I'm going to show you today, and I'm going to remind you some of the things that we talked about on Monday, and it's just absolutely going to blow your mind. Here's a story on ZeroHedge.com, and I like Zero Hedge. I don't agree with everything that they write, but they do write a lot of good stuff, and ZeroHedge.com is an excellent source of information from a global and political perspective. They talk a lot about things that indirectly have to do with Bible prophecy, but they are not, as far as I know, they are not a Christian organization, but they have a lot of good information to check out. But today they have a story: head of the Iranian nuclear weapons project has been assassinated. Amid speculation that Israel is on a war footing over a possible strike in Iran in the coming weeks, and we told you about that twice this week. We told you about that on Monday. We told you about that yesterday. Moments ago, Iranian state media reported that the country's top nuclear scientist, Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, was assassinated east of Tehran. He was reportedly accompanied by his bodyguard when they were attacked by a suicide attacker at the entrance of Absard town. According to the Iran front page news, he was killed by shooting, but before the shootout, his car had been stopped with an explosion. Several other people were also killed in the incident. So, today, we are reading about, and this happened, this was reported on Zero Hedge, 9:30 this morning, Eastern Standard Time, that the head of the Iranian nuclear program had been assassinated. Now, why is that an important thing? If you are a member of our free subscription service, and I highly, highly, highly recommend, if you haven't joined up, please go to nowtheendbegins.com. On every page, every article, every story, every page, front and back, including the contact us section, there is a box that says subscribe now. It's free. We don't sell your email address, but we will send you every article that we publish, every story that we do, every time we have a podcast, and every time that we have one of our Rightly Dividing King James Radio Bible Studies. And you will get notification of all those things as we publish them. So far, we have 16,481 subscribers. If you would like to stay in the loop, don't go to social media. Facebook is in the process of shutting us down. We were suspended for a day last week on Twitter with threats of more suspensions coming. We've been banned on LinkedIn. We've been banned on Pinterest. Do not trust social media. We highly recommend that you go to our website, nowtheendbegins.com, and you subscribe. It's free, it's quick, and it's easy, and you'll stay in the loop absolutely 100%. So we told you yesterday that right now in Israel this week, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, their military is preparing for the possibility that the United States is going to launch a military strike on the nuclear facilities in the nation of Iran, and they're going to do it before January 20th. Now, President Trump is still battling. He may yet still be successful. Like we've been saying, I don't think that God has cast his vote yet in this election. But suffice to say, should he not be successful, we pray that he is, but should he not be successful, it's starting to look like he's going to do one last strike on the nation of Iran to take out a chunk of their nuclear facilities, because Joe Biden, one of the first things that he has promised that he's going to do, he is going to rejoin the phony 2015 Iranian nuclear treaty that he and Obama hammered out 5 years ago. And he has already promised that he is going to put the United States back under bondage of this completely bogus, completely phony Iranian nuclear treaty. And so Israel right now, and you can go to timesofisrael.com, you can go to Jerusalem Post, this is actually happening. Israel is preparing for that strike because Iran would not retaliate first and foremost against the United States. They would retaliate first and foremost against the nation of Israel. And Israel knows that. Everybody knows that. So, is it possible that Donald Trump, should he sense that he's not going to be successful in his bid to overturn this fake election, and we're going to talk about that today too, how likely is it that President Trump will order a military strike against the Iranian nuclear facilities? Highly likely. Highly likely, should he not get a second term in office. So the nation of Israel, their military, their air force, their military, their navy, they are prepping themselves right now for that possible strike, because once the strike happens, something will happen to Israel. There will be some sort of a price for them to pay, but would it be worth it for Trump to take that strike and really do damage to the Iranian war machine? Yeah, absolutely. That is very, very necessary, and it's highly likely that that will happen if Donald Trump is not successful in overturning this fraudulent and fake election. Now, speaking of the person who everybody has already anointed as the next president, we have not said that here. It's likely that he will be, but we're not throwing in the towel just yet. Joe Biden, I want to play this clip for you. And it's only a minute and 38 seconds, but I want you to listen to the nonsense that comes out of his mouth. This was his Thanksgiving Day address to the American people from the office of the president-elect nonsense. But Joe Biden, over the last 4 years, has mocked Donald Trump, has absolutely assaulted his Christian faith, absolutely assaulted everything that he's ever done. Now, Joe Biden will tell you that he is a, quote, devout Catholic, end quote, and that his, quote, faith is very important to him, end quote. Now, you would think that if somebody was a devout Catholic and somebody whose faith was very important to them, they might have read the Bible a couple of times. Because even though that Catholics are not Christians, they're Catholics, and I was a Roman Catholic for 29 years, and I went to 12 years of private Jesuit and Franciscan school, so I know a little bit about the Catholic religion. Catholics are not Christians, they are Roman Catholics, but even Roman Catholics have the Bible. They don't have the right Bible, but they have a Bible. So I want you to listen to this clip about Joe Biden promising all sorts of nonsense and stumbling through this 1 minute and 38 second talk. But then I want you to listen to how he refers to what might possibly be the best known section of the entire Bible next to John 3:16. Have you ever read the Book of Palms? Take a listen to Joe Biden talking about the palmist.
We're going to lead the world on climate and save this planet. We're going to find cures for cancer and Alzheimer's and diabetes. I promise you. We're going to finally root out systemic racism in this country. And this Thanksgiving, in anticipation of all the Thanksgivings to come, let's dream again. Let's commit ourselves to thinking not only of ourselves, but of others as well. For if we care for one another, if we open our arms rather than brandishing our fists, we can, with the help of God, heal. And if we do, and I'm sure we can proclaim the palmist, with the palmist who wrote these following words: "The Lord is my strength and my shield, and with my song I give thanks to him. I give thanks now for you, for the trust you placed in me. Together we'll lift our voices in the coming months and years, and our song shall be of lives saved, breaches repaired, a nation made whole again." Folks, from the Biden family to yours, wherever and however you may be celebrated, we wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
So there's Joe Biden, devout Catholic, and if you listen to the first half of what he said, he is repeating what Barack Obama said back in 2006, 2007. Remember when he said he was going to stop the rise of the seas, and this is the day that the planet healed itself, and all of this nonsense. And so Joe Biden is promising you that he's going to get rid of Alzheimer's, and he's going to get rid of diabetes and cancer. I mean, this from a man who is suffering from early onset dementia. He tells you that his Marxist socialist administration will cure diabetes, will cure Alzheimer's, will cure cancer, and it's going to make the world a better place. But then did you hear him talking about what the palmist wrote in the Book of Palms? Do you remember a couple of years ago when Donald Trump, he was talking about a passage inside the Bible in the New Testament, and he said that he wanted to quote from 2 Corinthians. Now, anybody who's ever read the Bible knows it's not called 2 Corinthians. It's called 2 Corinthians. And boy, oh boy, did the fake news media play up that clip all day, every day, for weeks and weeks and weeks after he made that blunder. The whole world knew about 2 Corinthians. Well, the palmist is 10 times worse than 2 Corinthians, because when I look in my Bible, it doesn't say 2 Corinthians. We say that. My Bible says the number 2 Corinthians. That's pretty close to an honest mistake for a rookie. But who on the face of this earth would ever call the Book of Psalms the Book of Palms? Somebody who has never read it, somebody who has never picked up a Bible, somebody who doesn't care about the Bible, somebody who's a complete and total fake, phony, and fraud. And that's Joe Biden. He is the husk. He is the Trojan horse by which they are going to attempt to bring in the New World Order. And that's what we're talking about today. We are talking about the New World Order, and it's here. And they are on the verge of bringing it in, and they are very, very close to being successful. And everything that's been happening since in this country, it started in China in the end of 2019, at the same time that Bill Gates and the CDC and Anthony Fauci were wargaming an outbreak of coronavirus at an event called Event 201. And we've told you all about that. If you want to read these articles, go to nowtheendbegins.com. Go to the news categories section. Scroll down to End Times News. Click on Bill Gates. And you'll have all the stories that we ever did about Bill Gates and coronavirus. But that was just the start. And so here in America, on March 18th, that's when we started 15 days to flatten the curve. And here we are, March 18th, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. We are 8 months and 9 days after 15 days to flatten the curve. And let me ask you something. Have things gotten better or have they gotten worse? They've stabilized. You've gotten used to it. But has anything gotten better? No. We told you over the weekend, it feels like a weekend, doesn't it? We told you that yesterday on the Thanksgiving holiday, Pennsylvania was on lockdown. New York City had armed sheriff's officers waiting to see people getting off of the trains and the buses and ready to arrest those people if they tested COVID for if they tested positive for COVID, or if they could not prove that they have recently tested negative. And if you think things have gotten better, they have not gotten better. They have gotten worse, actually. They've gotten a lot worse. And with each passing month, things get worse and worse and worse and worse. I want you to listen to this clip from Tucker Carlson talking about how the election was rigged on many, many levels. Take a listen to Tucker talking about a rigged election.
Going forward, we need to find out exactly what happened in this month's presidential election. We need to find out no matter how long it takes the investigation to unfold or how much it costs. And once we get answers from that investigation, we ought to revert immediately to the traditional system of voting, the one that served our democracy for hundreds of years. What we're doing now is not working. That's an understatement. As of tonight, the state of New York still hasn't managed to count the votes in five House races, thanks to mail-in voting. That's a disaster. Let's stop pretending that it's not. But at the same time, we shouldn't let our focus on voting machines distract us from all that happened earlier this month. The 2020 presidential election was not fair. No honest person would claim that it was fair. On many levels, the system was rigged against one candidate and in favor of another. And it was rigged in ways that were not hidden from view. We all saw it happen. The media openly colluded with the Democratic nominees. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris refused to explain what they would do if they were elected. That's never happened before in any presidential election in American history. But the media allowed them to do it.
So there's Tucker Carlson talking about how this election was rigged on every level. From the voting to the media, and we all saw it. They reported every bad thing about Donald Trump, and they never reported the truth about Joe Biden. They attacked Donald Trump endlessly, repeatedly, incessantly, around the clock with the combined might of the global media militia. I don't know what else you would call these people. And even Fox News has now joined the fake news media. And this is an absolutely overwhelming onslaught. Nobody has ever been able to stand up to this type of attack. But Donald Trump has been able to withstand this type of attack. They've given him everything. They have they had 2.5 years of the fake Russian collusion. They had the fake Russian dossier. They had the fake investigation by Robert Mueller. They even put Mueller on the stand to try to sink Donald Trump, and they couldn't do it. And then back in October, November, and December of 2019, going into January and February, when the United States Congress should have been preparing America for the coronavirus, what were they doing? They were conducting a phony, phony, phony Salem witch trial, impeachment of Donald Trump, which failed. He was not impeached, but they spent millions of dollars doing it. And more importantly, the United States Congress, they have the blood on their hands for those 262,000 people that have died so far of the coronavirus. That virus is not, the blood of those dead people is not on the hands of Donald Trump. It is absolutely 100%, no question about it, on the hands of the United States Congress, because they are the group that are supposed to pass laws, protect this country, provide funding, and that's what Congress is supposed to do, and they absolutely neglected their duty to conduct a phony impeachment of Donald Trump. Now, we know that that was all part of the plan. We know that, we understand that when we research the history of SARS and COVID and the coronavirus, we understand that this is part of a patent, and we're getting ready to do a show possibly on Monday where we're going to show you the proof that the CDC owns the patent on COVID and on the coronavirus. We're going to show you the proof that it was the United States government, the shadow forces inside our own government, who gave this virus to the lab in Wuhan, and that it was released intentionally with malice aforethought. And on our Monday program, we're going to prove that to you. That's going to be a groundbreaking program. So make sure that you're here with us on Monday at noon Eastern Standard Time. But suffice to say, all this stuff was planned, and that's why Congress was trying to completely distract the country so that nobody was paying attention to COVID breaking out in China. Nobody ever gave 2 seconds worth of a thought that it might come here, which of course was the whole plan. And Congress did this intentionally so that America would not be prepared. This is what you find when you go looking for the truth. This is what you find when you go digging for what the real reasons are. And like I said on Monday, I'm going to prove it to you, not just give you my opinion. Now, let's just switch gears just for a second, even though it's not really, it's kind of not different gears. It's just a higher gear. And I want to talk for a second about an article that I did last night. I had a good conversation with a buddy of mine, and we were talking about how everything is speeding up in 2020, and everything is going crazy, and everybody knows it. Doesn't matter whether if you're talking with saved people, you're talking with lost people, you're talking with on fire Christians, or you're talking with the most backslidden lost person. Everybody knows, from the bar room to the courthouse and everywhere in between, everybody knows that something has changed on a very major level. And everybody knows that nothing is going back to the way that it was. So I did this article last night called Everyone I Speak With Lately, Saved or Lost, Knows That We Are in the Midst of a Global Paradigm Shift That Can Only Be Explained with the King James Bible. And I referenced one of my favorite movies, The Matrix, and I just want to play a little clip for you right now from that movie, from the conversation that Morpheus has with Neo about the Matrix, the red pill, the blue pill, and I just want you to listen to what Morpheus and Neo talk about, and then we're going to relate this to what's happening now in 2020, and then I'm going to show you some stuff that's going to blow your mind. Ready? This is the clip from The Matrix. All I'm offering is the truth. Take a listen.
I imagine that right now you're feeling a bit like Alice, tumbling down the rabbit hole.
You could say that.
I can see it in your eyes. You have the look of a man who accepts what he sees because he is expecting to wake up. Ironically, this is not far from the truth. Do you believe in fate, Neo?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't like the idea that I'm not in control of my life.
I know exactly what you mean. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window, or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.
So there you have Morpheus talking with Neo about the Matrix. And he says those words to him that have resonated in my mind for years and years and years. The Matrix is everywhere, he says. It is all around us. Even that now, in this very room, you can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth. And Neo says, what truth? Remember when Pilate said, what is truth? And then he didn't stop and stick around to get the answer. Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. But the Matrix really made a very, very strong impression on me 21 years ago. But now, in 2020, what do we have? Everybody's forgotten about the movie The Matrix, but the things that The Matrix talked about are the exact same things that are being presented to us right here and right now in 2020. We are being told that the entire world needs to be reset. And so what are we seeing? We are seeing the time of the Great Reset. The person who the media says is going to be our next president, Joe Biden, we told you on Monday that he changed his campaign slogan from the Malarkey Tour to something called Build Back Better. Now, we told you on Monday why Joe Biden did that. Build Back Better is not a Joe Biden campaign slogan. It is not even something that he originated. It's not even something that originated in the year 2020. The mantra Build Back Better was created by Klaus Schwab, who is pushing from the World Economic Forum, who is pushing something called the Fourth Industrial Revolution, and the United Nations. They are the authors of the expression Build Back Better. Now, in order to have things to be built back better, you have to have everything completely reset. And that's why we say that we are going through the time now of the Great Reset. Now, have you ever gone bowling? Have you ever gone bowling and you see the pins and you roll that first ball and you get 8 pins down and then you roll that second ball and it hits really, really hard, but it leaves one pin standing? That one pin is America. And then when your turn is over, that arm comes sweeping down and it knocks that one pin down, and then it resets all of the pins. I think there's 10 pins. I can't recall how many pins. I think it's 10. But suffice to say that when the arm in that automated system comes sweeping down, it clears away the pins that are still standing, and then all of a sudden, those pins pop right back up, and everything has been completely reset. That is 2020. That's why they're doing all these things. And just a few minutes, we're going to talk about the vaccine. We're going to talk about it's coming. It's going to be mandatory. There's no question about it. And we're going to show you a couple of stories that will prove to you that the coming vaccine is going to be mandatory. But the sad part is it possible, like I said at the beginning of this program, is it possible that there could be armed soldiers knocking on your door and saying that we are here to give you your COVID vaccinations for you and your family? Is that a possibility? Yes, that is absolutely a possibility. But it is more likely that the vast majority of people in this world are going to simply lay down and meekly take it. How do I know that? Why do I say that? Do you remember back when we did those programs back in April and May? May was the month in the 10 years that we have been doing Now the End Begins. We had more visits to our website in the month of May than in any other month in the last 10 years. And it was 2.5 million visits and views in just the month of May alone. It was our biggest month ever. And we were talking about the vaccines, and everybody was so fired up, and everybody was wide awake. And everyone that I spoke to, they all said the same thing. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take it. But here we are. If you start with the month of May, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, 6 months later, where did the big pharmaceutical companies find hundreds of thousands of people to engage in clinical trials for these vaccines, these multiple vaccines that are coming out from companies like AstraZeneca, Pfizer, Moderna? Where did they find hundreds of thousands of people to sign up for these unproven, untested, poison-filled vaccines? Because last time I checked, back in the month of May, nobody was going to take it. And everybody knew. It got so bad for Bill Gates that he virtually had to disappear from public sight. If you go to YouTube right now and type in Bill Gates, you will not find any video that he's done that is newer than 2 or 3 months ago. He was somebody that was on the mainstream media every waking moment, it seemed, every hour of every day. Bill Gates was literally everywhere, on every program. And then, about 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago, Bill Gates simply vanished. We still hear about him from time to time, but I haven't been able to find one single interview that he's given about vaccines that is any newer than 2 months ago. Now, why would Bill Gates suddenly disappear? Because when we started broadcasting and telling people back in April and May about what's coming, the heat got really, 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 really bad for Bill Gates. And thousands of websites, whether they were conspiracy websites, end times websites, Bible websites, Christians, conservatives, Republicans, patriots, everybody got in the action, and it made life almost impossible for Bill Gates. So he disappeared from public view. And he has been absolutely letting people forget about him for a little bit of time, because he's getting ready to come back. And he, remember he told you, do you remember that he said that he was personally going to be financing 7 different vaccine factories? And he was positive that the majority of those 7 factories would produce results. Well, how come we don't hear him talking about those things now? And we haven't heard about that for months and months and months. Well, that's because he is giving you a little bit of a chance to forget about him. And he is going to come out with a vengeance in just a little bit of time. Now, let's talk about this. On the website called Biometric Update, a man by the name of Tumas Ilves, he is the former president of Estonia. Now, most of you have never heard of the nation of Estonia, but you may be surprised to learn that the nation of Estonia is the world's most digitally advanced society on the face of the earth when it comes to incorporating a national digital biometric ID. The tiny little nation of Estonia that doesn't even sound, you know how like when you watch a Hallmark movie about the girl who's a waitress in a coffee shop in Brooklyn, and all of a sudden she finds herself at the castle in this made up foreign country, and she falls in love with the single prince, and by a series of very hard to believe contrivances, this coffee shop waitress finds herself as the princess and the queen of this far-flung foreign country that they just made the name up. Well, to me, and Noah, oh, I got to put you on hold for 1 second. We got gospel tracks coming in. Don't go away.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out on the cloud to call his children. I see prophecies fulfilling, the signs of the time
You know they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father as he says, son, go get your children. And at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again,
when Jesus comes to get us as he promised. Had to take a quick break there. There was a UPS guy knocking on my door with our delivery of 50,000 NTEB gospel tracks. When we order the tracks from the printer, they arrive in big boxes just like that. And June in the chat room said, and Fabiola said also, wow, 50,000 gospel tracks. Would you believe that this is the fifth time that we've had to order 50,000 gospel tracks just in this year alone? So we have received over 250,000 gospel tracks, and these 50,000 are the only ones we have left, and they're getting ready to go right back out the door. So we appreciate everybody who purchases our NTEB gospel tracks. That really helps us to stay open and stay online, but more importantly, it gets you in the game witnessing on the front lines of the end times. And like we always tell you, if you want to be a witness but you can't afford gospel tracts, just send us an email, info@nowtheendbegins.com, and we'll send you a box completely for free, no charge. And if you want to study God's Word and you need a good commentary Bible but you can't afford one, email me and we'll send you out an excellent Ruckman Reference Bible that has been paid for by other Christians who very much want you to have that. And that's our free Bible and tract program, which is different. It's separate. It's independent from the other program that we've been involved with the 17 1,000-pound rolls of paper with Bible and Literature Missionary Foundation in Shelbyville, Tennessee. We got a lot going on, and we just thank the Lord for the increase. Now, right before I took that spontaneous, unscheduled break, and that's what you have when you do live programming, but right before we took that break, I was getting ready to tell you about Tumas Ilves. He is the former president of what sounds like a made-up country, Estonia. And no offense if you're Estonian, but you have to admit that your country is not in the news a whole lot, and a lot of people don't know about the nation of Estonia. But Estonia is the world's most sophisticated country when it comes to national digital identification. And this man, Tumas Ilves, he has been burning up the cyber world, going around and telling people exactly what the world needs to do as part of the Great Reset. So I have a couple clips that you need to listen to because I want you to hear these people saying it with their own words. And I've really become a big fan of the audio clip because that way you know for a fact that what we're telling you is true when we tell you what other people have to say. And I try very, very hard to make sure that we always have an audio clip so that you can hear it, so that you know it's real, and this is not just stuff that we're talking about and making up. So I want you to listen to this clip, and this is going to introduce three people to you. And I want you to, it's just the introduction, it's a very short clip, but I want you to hear what is being planned for you and I by the World Economic Forum with Klaus Schwab, the United Nations, ID 2020. I want you to hear what these people are planning for us in 2021. Take a listen to this.
Former President of Estonia, Tuomas Ilves. He's a distinguished visiting fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University, former President of the Republic of Estonia. During his tenure, he served as chairman of the EU Task Force on e-health and was chairman of the European Cloud Partnership Steering Board. He was also a member of the European Parliament, and he now chairs the World Economic Forum Working Group, the Global Futures Council on Blockchain Technology, and sits on the advisory council of our sister organization, the Alliance for Securing Democracy, also at GMF. Congressman Will Hurd represents Texas's 23rd Congressional District in the U.S. House of Representatives, where he has served on both the House Appropriations Committee and the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Previously, he worked for the Central Intelligence Agency for 9 years, and he serves on the German Marshall Fund's Board of Trustees. Chris Schroeder is an American entrepreneur, advisor, and investor in interactive technologies and social media. Chris is the co-founder and general partner of Next Billion and author of the bestseller Startup Rising, The Entrepreneurial Revolution, Remaking the Middle East. We're very lucky that he also serves on the German Marshall Fund's Board of Trustees. So welcome. Thank you all for taking time out of your very busy schedules to be with us today. We're very excited. We think that technology and innovation have to be really at the forefront of the conversations about what we do going forward to build back better.
There it is. What we need to do to be at the center of the conversation to build back better. You need to make a little mental note every time you hear that phrase, build back better. I don't want you here in America to think of Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. I want you to think of the World Economic Forum. I want you to think of the human implantable microchip. I want you to think of mandatory COVID vaccinations. I want you to think of the Great Reset. I want you to think of all these different people. And the reason why is because this is what the plan is. The COVID virus, which is patented by the CDC, and owned by the CDC and released by the CDC, the COVID virus is a real virus and people actually get it. And if you're not in good shape or if you're older, it's highly likely that you're going to have a very serious reaction. And so far in this country, a little over 250,000 people have died. So the COVID virus is not fake. It is real. Do your best to avoid it. Do your best to not get it. Having said that, it is also a Trojan horse through which these same groups, Build Back Better, the Great Reset, the World Economic Forum, all these people, the United Nations, Bill Gates, ID 2020, Emmanuel Macron, everyone is working in concert together to bring about exactly the same result. Never in human history have you ever seen the entire world working in harmony together like they are right now. The only other time that I can think of that shows this much coordinated effort on a large scale, it was not global, it was localized to Europe. But the last time in my study of human history that I have seen, if you want to go all the way back to the Romans, but I don't want to go back that far. But let's just say that in the last 1700 years, in the last 1700 years, the only time I have ever seen such coordinated effort to do evil was with the rise of Nazi Germany and Adolf Hitler. Say what you want about Adolf Hitler. He was amazingly organized, and until everything began to crumble and fall apart, he was right on track to get done exactly what he said that he was going to get done. But here in 2020, what we are seeing is a very well-funded, well-organized global effort to reset everything and to bring in the New World Order. Now, that was the introduction for those three people. But the main person that I want to focus on is a man by the name of Tumas Ilves. And he, former president of the nation of Estonia, take a listen to what he says about the need for global identification. This is Tumas Hendrik Ilves talking about global ID.
Eric Schmidt of Google, every time I see him, says, well, how come you guys do this and no one else does? Estonia right now is one of the biggest champions of the digital single market in Europe. I mean, the EU just did a study that on e-governance placed us as number one in Europe. Crucial element to making a system like ours work is the universal use of a electronic ID. A unique ID enables you to have a legal signature. All these services that require a signature or identification can then be done electronically. For example, we offer digital prescriptions, and 99.9% of the population uses digital signatures. The other side of what all of this does is that it leads to far greater transparency. Our system is extremely trust-based. People believe that they are secure. This is one reason why I'm completely against any kind of backdoors. Even if there is a belief that there's a backdoor, let alone if a political leader says, oh, it's just to catch terrorists, the knowledge that someone can use a backdoor to access your data will say to people, this is not secure. The problem we face today in this whole field is that we're working with solutions that were devised in the late 70s, early 80s, we've not gone beyond that. Having one big server with unencrypted data is not one of those solutions. If you want to have security, you're going to have a different system, some kind of chip or a fingerprint. You need to have two separate things with the architecture to match them up. It makes it far more secure than the usual system that we use, which is just a name or an email address and a password. Unless we have a clear understanding of what one needs to do to have security online, we will not move ahead with e-governance.
Now, that was the former Estonian president, Tumas Hendrik Ilves, I-L-V-E-S. And when I played that introductory clip for you, that was from November 23rd. So this is not years ago. This is not even 1 week ago. And this is what these people are planning. Now, let me draw your attention to an article that we did back on Saturday. Saturday was kind of a big news day, if you were paying attention. You know what? I still think it's the weekend, and it's not the weekend. Today is Friday. It's the day after Thanksgiving. Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't know. I have no idea. November 25th, we did this article for you, and this was the title. United Nations launches new biometric and mobile technology that will track you forever. And this is not something that's speculative. This is not something that's one day, someday. This is something that the United Nations is rolling out right now. And it's all going to be attached to your mobile devices. Have you ever wondered why there has been such a push to get everybody on a mobile device? Have you ever stopped to consider why Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook has said repeatedly that he wants to give free broadband to every human being on the face of the earth? Have you ever wondered why Elon Musk, who is now the second richest person on the face of the earth, have you ever wondered why Elon Musk wanted to create his internet satellite program that will give broadband to every human being on the earth, beamed down from space? Do you think it's because this is just an altruistic gesture on their part and they are multi-billionaires and blah, blah, blah. They just want to give back to society because they're so, the reason why they're doing this is because everything is going to be controlled from your mobile device. That's why they're doing this. This thing that the United Nations is rolling out right now, that is combining biometric digital identification with blockchain and mobile technology, it is what they call cradle-to-grave tracking. It tracks you when you come into the system, and the system doesn't matter if you switch jobs or anything, you move to a different country, none of those things matter. You leave the system when you die. And that's exactly what the United Nations is launching right now. And this is a massive program that they are rolling out. And it is going to be, the pilot program is going to be for employees of the United Nations. So let's go to Google and say, how many employees in the UN? Let's just see how many people that they have. Well, this is a fairly good pilot program. As of September of 2020, the total population for the staff of the Global Secretariat is 37,505. 37,505 people are going to be enrolled in this forever mobile tracking system. A cradle-to-grave tracking system. And this is what everybody is talking about. Now, you may be asking, but hey, wait a minute, brother. I thought this program was about the COVID vaccine. It is. The vaccine is going to be mandatory, and you will not be able to opt out of it. And again, is it possible that armed soldiers will come to your door and force you to take it? Yes, that's possible. But it's more likely that they'll never even have to get to that point, because people even now are already beginning to volunteer to receive the vaccine. We did this story a couple of days ago, and this was the headline. Doctors now warning that the coming COVID-1984 vaccine will, quote, put you down, end quote. The side effects are so bad. But they insist that you take it twice anyway. So here you have a woman by the name of Dr. Sandra Fryhofer, and she is telling you that the vaccines that are in the pipeline right now, and remember, there's three different companies who are working on vaccines that are really, really close to launching. They are AstraZeneca, they are Pfizer, and Moderna. And these three companies are on the verge of releasing the vaccines sometime in the end of December or the middle of January. That's how close that we are. And it is not a one-time thing. These vaccines are going to come out in different levels and different stages, and in 6 months from now or a year from now, the type of vaccine that they're going to have is going to be far more advanced than what they're going to be rolling out in the next couple of weeks or the next couple of months. Remember back in the beginning days of the internet, around 1994, 1995, I can remember with me and my buddy Dan, we were getting upgrades in our modems, and we were so excited the day that they rolled out the V90 modem, and you could get 5 megabyte downloads, right? That sounds like a joke now, but that's what it was. The first internet was dial-up, and then it was through a modem and all this stuff. But with each new rollout, it got faster and faster and faster. I'm doing this program right now on a system that has a download capability of 1,000 megabits per second. And that's how fast the connection that I'm talking to you on is. I can download half a gigabyte, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 seconds tops. It is unbelievable speed, but it's not even close to the fastest connection that you could possibly have. And in much the same way, when these vaccines start coming out, stage one is going to be almost like a regular vaccine, but not quite. But stage two, stage three, stage four, and they're going to get comfortable. They're going to understand more of what they're doing. They're not going to be so rushed. And you are going to see the vaccine being combined with the digital identification that Tumas Ilves was telling you about, that Bill Gates is telling you about. Do you remember when we brought you that story on how Microsoft last year filed for a patent, and it was patent number 06060620, and it was for a human implantable biometric device that connected to Bitcoin, which is buying and selling, and Microsoft filed for this patent, and they were given the number of patent number 06060620. And that's what Microsoft did last year. Now, when you begin to investigate what everybody is doing, what everybody is up to, surprise, surprise, they are all up to the same thing. They are all working for a common goal. Do you remember back in May of this year when we had that big, big month and we brought you that story that Bill Gates' wife, Melinda, she appeared on the Today Show and she was talking about how important it was that everybody on the face of this earth receive a non-voluntary vaccine to protect themselves from COVID? Do you remember what she was wearing when she gave that talk? She had her long hair falling down over a pink fuzzy sweater, and right in the middle of the top of that sweater was a little golden pendant, and it was a Christian cross upside down. And she looked right into the camera like the angel of death, and she told you about how the entire world at some point in the not too distant future is going to receive a mandatory vaccine. Now, we told you on Wednesday that one of the most respected airlines in the world, it's Qantas from Australia, and Qantas is one of the most respected airlines that there is, and they are drawing up plans right now that they will not allow any of their passengers. And their passengers are corporate people, business people. They do a ton of international flights. But Qantas is deciding that they are no longer going to sell plane tickets to anybody who has not received a COVID vaccine. Now, Fabiola is asking, wasn't the first case of COVID right near Bill Gates' house? Absolutely, it was. Good memory. Let me see if I can pull that story up real quick without digging for too long. And it helps me to refine my multitasking skills of talking about one thing and looking for something else. It's really not different from all the years of playing the piano and having to do something different with my left hand than what my right hand was doing. But I guess even that has trained me to be a podcaster all these years later. But Fabiola, she just reminded me of something that we had told you about on April 6th of 2020. And in that story, we said, in an amazing coincidence, and none of these things, when we say amazing coincidence, it's all sarcasm. It's all tongue-in-cheek, because there are no coincidences. This is all planned. But the headline says, in an amazing coincidence, the first reported case of coronavirus in the United States was in Washington State, mere miles from the home of Bill Gates. And this was at a place called the Evergreen Health Center. And during that time, 65 patients arrived for treatment and 15 died. But the very first patient in America to receive coronavirus was virtually and actually in Bill Gates' backyard. So thank you, Fabiola, for reminding me of that. But that just goes to show you that that was an article that I wrote, and I didn't even remember that I wrote that article. And when you look at how many articles we produce, let me just go to the counter right now in my dashboard here. And so far, in the last 10 years, we have brought you 8,370 articles. And of those 8,370 articles, 8,219 of those articles were brought to you by me individually. Now, we have great people who write for Now the End Begins. We have Jimmy Randolph and Dr. Bob Lieb, Jerry Ungurian, Lori DeMona. We have excellent people who write and who help us out here, but the vast majority of the articles that we do, I do myself, because that's what God has called me to do. So, the very first COVID patient happened at Evergreen Health in Bill Gates' neighborhood. And so this shows you where this whole thing is going. This shows you why Bill Gates has been hiding from public scrutiny for the last couple of months, because let me just make a little non-prediction here. And I call it a non-prediction prediction because it's just common sense. It's just watching and understanding where things are going. What's going to happen is Bill Gates is going to come out and he's going to, after everybody gets used to taking the first round of vaccines, the second round of vaccines, and all you have to do is go to Twitter. Every single news outlet is calling for vaccines to be administered. Everybody. Fox News, everybody. If you watch Fox News, please stop. Because they have thrown in the towel. They are just as fake and phony as everybody else. The only person that I still trust at Fox News is Tucker Carlson. And even that is on a show-by-show basis. I have a question in the chat room, and I don't know how to pronounce her name, and I hope I don't mispronounce it, but it looks like her name is Ave, as in Ave Maria. But Ave is saying that she finds it incredible that when Bill Gates held Event 201, that they actually made a stuffed animal out of the deadly coronavirus. And they gave it away as a door, not a door prize, but I guess as a take home gift. Is it really true that Bill Gates and the Johns Hopkins Center created coronavirus COVID-19 stuffed animals and gave them away as gifts to the New World Order and global elites who attended that program? The answer is absolutely 100% yes. And here is what the COVID-19 plushie toy looked like. Take a look at that. It even has tagged right on it. The placard from Event 201. You can't make this stuff up. It's funny. This is the year that I no longer need to use the word conspiracy theory. because everything that we've been telling you about for 10 years is happening, and it's happening in this year. And 2020, as crazy as you thought this year was, 2021 is going to be a whole lot crazier than this year. That's what's coming, and that's what's happening. So did Bill Gates really make a stuffed animal plushy toy out of a deadly virus and give it away as a gift? He sure did, because that's how these people with their predictive programming, that's how they get their jollies, so to speak. You know, the angel of death from Auschwitz, doctor, and I use that word loosely, Dr. Joseph Mengele, he used to get his jollies by injecting people with crazy things and watching them squirm and watching all the nasty things that his experiments from that soulless, godforsaken man, Joseph Mengele. You talk about an evil, evil, evil human being. You just study some of the people who populated Auschwitz and Nazi Germany. And these people were absolutely disgusting people. But when these New World Order global elites, when they do their stuff, they do something called predictive programming. And what predictive programming is you take any event that you could possibly ever think of that's happened in the last 30, 40 years, and you will find, if you're diligent and you're searching, you will find that before that event took place, the same people who carried out that event, they worked that storyline into a cartoon, into a movie, into a song, into a public event like the Olympics. And let me just give you a couple examples of predictive programming that will blow your mind. Okay, I told you this show was going to blow your mind, and I'm not going to disappoint you today. I'm just as excited for this show as I was for Monday's show. I love it when it gets good like this, okay? In 2016, there was a children's movie called Hedgehogs. Nobody even remembers that movie. But kids remember that movie, and parents who took their kids to see it in the movies, they remember that movie. And what was the theme of Hedgehogs? Everybody is subject to a global virus. Everybody around the world is forced to wear masks. There is an ultra-rich supervillain who pretends to be a doctor. Does that sound familiar? Hedgehogs is a movie about a global virus pandemic, a respiratory illness to be exact. And where does this respiratory illness come from? It comes from Asia, from a laboratory, from animals that breaks out into the global population. This was a children's movie in 2016. And that is exactly the fundamental pillars of COVID coming to you from Asia, from a laboratory, from animals. Remember they talked about the bats and how COVID, they tried to make you think that it came from bats. Every single premise in the movie Hedgehogs, which was made 4 years before the coronavirus came to America, including the ultra-rich villain who pretends to be a doctor, that's Bill Gates, obviously. But this is what these sick people do. It's called predictive programming. Now, let me give you a couple more examples. And each one that I give you is going to be more outrageous than the one before it. But that's intentional. How about this one? We brought you the story back in June of this year. And on Netflix, they have a cartoon. And let me just put this into the chat room so I can focus on what I'm saying. Predictive programming in Netflix kids cartoon called Stretch Armstrong shows people lining up to take the SmartMark implantable digital identification. This is on Netflix. And when you have time, go to that article and read for yourself what the smart mark is all about. But suffice to say, it is about having centers in every city in America where you go in and you receive a human implantable digital identification microchip that they call the Smart Mark. I wonder why they would do that. I wonder why they would put that into a kid's cartoon on Netflix. How about this one? Going all the way back to the 2012 Olympics in London, the opening ceremony of the 2012 Olympics in London, the entire show, and nobody knew what they were seeing because no one had seen a diagram for what the coronavirus looked like and how it spikes up like a crown. But the entire opening show at the 2012 London Olympics, they were dancing in the shape of a coronavirus. Believe it or not. Let me give you one more. Let me see if I can give you one more. How about this one? Going all the way back to 1981 on a TV show that was very, very popular called Barney Miller. And there was an actor on that show called Abe Vigoda. And one day him and his wife, they stopped by this restaurant where I was working as a piano player. And she was very nice and she gave me a $5 tip. And she said, "You play the piano very nicely." I don't know why I remember that. But Abe Vigoda, who was having dinner with his wife, who was nice enough to give me a tip. Abe Vigoda was on this TV show called Barney Miller. Well, on this particular episode of Barney Miller, they talked about this crazy man who was brought into the station ranting and raving about something called the Trilateral Commission. In 1981, nobody would have cared. Nobody would have even remembered that that show took place. But when you go to Google today and you look up who the Trilateral Commission is, and you see that the Trilateral Commission is an evil, evil, evil group of people, and they are planning all sorts of stuff. I don't have time to talk about them now, but go to that article. And if you're not in the chat room, all you have to do is go to nowtheendbegins.com, go to our hyper-powered search feature, and type in Barney Miller, and this article will come right up, and you can hear the clips for yourself. Now, we're coming close to the end of our program today. But before I let you go, we still have about another 10 minutes left. But before I let you go, I want to remind you of where we are on the end times timeline. We are so close, and I want to bring you back to the story that I started with, that I wrote last night after talking with a buddy of mine on the telephone. And everybody knows, everybody can feel where we are on the end times timeline. And I want you to believe me when I tell you, and I know that everybody says, yeah, they've been calling for this for the last 2,000 years, but that's not really true. That's not really true. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says that there are two requirements that need to be met in order for the pre-trib rapture of the church to take place. Those requirements are, one has already been met, and the other one is in the process of being met. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 3. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. That is different from the day of the Lord. The day of Christ is the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Not a falling up, a falling away. what would they be falling away from? The Apostle Paul says that the day will come. Let me just pull it up real fast. I have a lot going on in my brain. I have thought overload right now. But the Apostle Paul said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall be turned unto fables, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth. We live in that day and age right now.
Strike and 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 strike until you have victory for every enemy that is aligned against you. Let there be.
What other people think. No, doesn't matter what they think. No more di esta pacalia, no. Oh, let me have the passion open. In a mamba, no more go lombon jimba. My name on board be a casti a cello soso.
By the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, God, I pray, I pray, I pray, I pray, healing, healing, healing. I pray, I pray, I pray, deliverance, 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 deliverance. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Karamosharadanda Rabasha Karabamanda Diasa. Uratataratala Moho Shakaya.
And I see a very strange vision right now where I see crowns within crowns within crowns within crowns within crowns within crowns. And as soon as you take the crown off and place it on the child, I see like a pyramid of crowns upon the child's head. And they take the largest one off and place it on another. And there's another one there.
The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, and by which he fills everything, including the White House, including government halls, including universities, including education centers, including the best medical labs, including the biggest businesses. He doesn't just fill our church business or our churches. He fills everything with his presence. He do that. He does that through you. He does that through me. Wherever I go, God rules. When I walk on White House grounds, God walks on White House grounds.
Oh, really?
When I walked in the river, God walked in the river. When I go into the dry cleaner, that dry cleaning place becomes holy. I had every right and authority to declare the White House as holy ground because I was standing there, and where I stand is holy.
Woo! There you have it. So, take your pick, people. Paula White, Heidi Baker, Perry Stone, Kenneth Hagin, Rodney Howard Brown, Joel Osteen, Kenneth Copeland. That is the great falling away. And you can check that off of your list. Now, we don't play these clips to mock these people. We play these clips to warn you. To show you that the great falling away has happened. So, back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We have about 3 minutes left. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, what do you see? Paul says, for that day shall not come except there come a great falling away first. That's done. It's only going to get wider. It's not going to get deeper. The church has fallen away. And then the next thing is, and that man of sin be revealed, comma, the rapture, and then the man of sin becomes the son of perdition. And we've said to you many times that we think our choice for that man, the man of sin, and it is looking like he's the guy, Emmanuel Macron, the president of France. And just go to our Emmanuel Macron section, and you can read why we think that. But we've done a lot of research, And Lori Demonia has done a lot of research, and we've published our findings. We continue to post and publish our findings, but we invite you to read all about it and to consider it before you make up your mind. Now, we have 2 minutes left. Where does all this lead us? 2020 is the year that the New World Order made their move. Not going to make their move, has made their move. And we are now, well, if it started here in America in March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, we are 9 months into the Great Reset. And these people are more powerful and more organized. They themselves were not sure how much they could fool the American people and how much they could fool the people of Europe and the people of Asia and the people of Africa. But they have been successful beyond their own estimations. And because they have been successful, we are now going to have to face mandatory vaccinations. And again, it may or may not include military force, but it's looking like it's not even going to have to get to that point. Remember, Adolf Hitler did not have to use military force to rule over the German people. They willingly laid down before him. Not everybody, but the vast majority of people. I told you that I used to date a girl back in high school whose parents were Hitler Youth in Nazi Germany in the 1940s. So they told me what actually happened, and they told me what really went on. And when I would have coffee with this girl's uncle, which was her mother's brother, he still missed and longed for the days when Adolf Hitler was running things. That's how deep the deception went. And that is exactly what we are seeing here in 2020. We are seeing massive global deception. And back in April, May, and June, everybody was wide awake. But then everybody got tired and the eyelids got heavy. And people stopped caring. And then people started being more concerned with food on their table and clothes on their back. And that is why the mark of the beast is connected with buying and selling. Because what does the Bible say? Skin for skin. What is that verse? Let me just see if I can pull it up real fast. Skin for skin, I think it's from the book of Job. Yeah, there it is. Job 2:4. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. And that's why the mark of the beast is connected with buying and selling, because when your food and drink and clothing and the ability to put a roof over your head is threatened, you will agree to just about anything. And that's why the mark of the beast is a financial mark that controls buying and selling. How crazy is that? And with that, we've come to the end of our time. And one of these days, our time is going to be up. And that day is going to be sooner rather than later. In the article that I wrote last night, I said this, and I'll leave you with this thought. Every day, tens of thousands of people saved and lost visit nowtheendbegins.com, and we thank the Lord for giving us this powerful global platform to preach and teach from. But one day, they will come and find that our latest story has grown old and has not been updated. That will be because the pre-tribulation rapture was real and we've been taken. You need to decide right now which side of the fence you are actually on, and then get busy working like you believe it. NTEB is your red pill. Take it. I cannot stress strongly enough how little time remains. Tick tock. And with that, we are at the end of our time for today. Thank you so much for joining us here on this Friday afternoon. And Lord willing, we will see you back here Sunday morning 11 p.m. 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for another edition of the NTEB House Church Sunday Morning Service. Have a great weekend, everybody.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him, for yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him.